I suggest that we begin by reading the second part of Isaiah 55, and we'll start reading at verse 8. And then we'll read Isaiah 35. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And then the verses 12 and 13 will be the text for this evening. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And then Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35. Again, the word of God, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of your God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. Beloved congregation, Isaiah 55 offers a grand perspective on the gospel. The freeness of the gospel, the force of the gospel, and the fruit of the gospel. God's people need this perspective to encourage them, to cheer them in their pilgrimage on this earth. The Church of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, is in many ways a fighting church, has enemies, and at times it can look all things are against the church. And so the church needs to refocus again and again on the big picture, who God is and his Son Jesus Christ, and what he has been doing and what he is doing and what he will be doing and where everything is going. This morning we were reminded that God's pardon in the gospel is an abundant pardon based on Christ's abundant sacrifice. This is something that the church never grows beyond. She needs the reminder of it. and the experience of it again and again. How often Satan can assault and our own hearts can wonder and doubt, will God's pardon also cover this sin of my life and cover that sin in my life? But there is more, of which the Lord reminds his people in this 55th chapter of Isaiah. The gospel is not only a gospel of abundant pardon, but also of abundant peace. And that's what we'll focus on this evening. You have it in the New Testament, for instance, in the words of Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, He, Christ, is our peace. A peace that flows from the reconciliation with God through the death of God's own Son. And it gives joy in our heart and life. Even joy, Paul says in Romans 5, in the midst of tribulations. And that's exactly what Isaiah 55, the concluding section, is all about. We may say peace, abundant peace. Isaiah says, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And all of nature, he brings out, will sing out this peace. And the thorn will make place for the tree. And the briar will be replaced by the myrtle tree. And it will all speak of peace. And that is our theme for tonight. Abundant peace. And we will consider, first of all, that God's people are permanently piloted. That means led forth. I'm trying to use a verb with a P, so that there is a measure of alliteration. God's people are permanently piloted. And secondly, God's creation is gloriously purified. And thirdly, God's name is eternally praised. So those three thoughts. Abundant peace. God's people are permanently piloted or led forth. God's creation is gloriously purified. And God's name is eternally praised. God's people are continually piloted or led forth. Living here on Ball Avenue, close to the prison, it is not unusual for our next door family, your pastor and his wife, to have the doorbell ring and to have someone who has just been released from jail asking us, do you belong to this church? Yes. Well, I just came out of jail. And could you help me with some money? Or some contact, or a place to stay. And if you think about that, there is a lesson in this regard, congregation. Because even when a man has been in the prison cell, whether it's for 3 months or longer, and he's been released from the prison, having served his term, it doesn't mean that he knows how to go on as he leaves the prison. A judge can even pardon him for his crime, but a judge cannot give him a new life and furnish him with all the things that he needs to live a happy and a productive life. And here Isaiah 55 and the perspective given at the close of this chapter is very encouraging, because the Lord does not only abundantly and mercifully pardon a guilty people, but he also gives to them what they need for the rest of this life and even forevermore. And in our text, the Lord by the mouth of Isaiah says, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. What does it mean? Well, Isaiah the prophet is addressing the exiles of Babylon. Even though you may recall that Isaiah lived a long time before the exile, about 100 years. But he, because of the wickedness of Judah, of Israel, had to announce the exile. And the people would not listen. But then in the second part of the book of Isaiah, starting in chapter 40, the prophet also may announce that there will be a return from exile, from Babylon. And to them in chapter 55, the Lord comes and he calls them and he says, come to this water, and here is bread that will satisfy you. But it is clear that the prophet Isaiah, and that the Lord speaking through Isaiah, realizes that these exiles, when they come back from exile, and having served their term of exile, that they still will have in them a propensity to walk on their own ways, clinging to their own thoughts. And yet to them the Lord says, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. What does it mean? It means that the Lord, through the prophet, announces that there will be that return from Babylon, and they will return with joy. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. It means it will be a cause of great joy when the exile shall have ended and the people may return to the land of their fathers and there serve the Lord. And the Lord says, you shall go in peace from Babylon to Israel. It's still a long way. And just think of it, they had to walk that way, mile after mile after mile. But you shall go in peace. And you shall be guarded on the way, not disturbed and attacked by enemies. No evil shall befall you. You will safely arrive in the land of the fathers. Now, we need to recognize that here in Isaiah 55, as elsewhere in the book of Isaiah and elsewhere in the prophets, that there is a deeper layer than what perhaps meets our eye at the first reading. And it shows up particularly in the next sentence when it says there, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Those words make clear that the Lord is speaking here specifically about a spiritual release from captivity. And his promise is this, that God's people will be continually led on, guided, piloted. Now, is this not encouraging to you, believer, in the Lord who this morning sat at the table of the Lord and tasted of the Lord's abundant pardon? And ye shall be led forth with peace. After feeding you, as it were, this morning in the wilderness of this life, you shall be led forth with peace. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. Peace with your circumstances. In principle, in peace with the way that the Lord leads you in every regard. These are marvelous words, congregation. Joy and peace. And these may be the portion of the true communicants, not because there are no more sins in their life, not because they no more have spiritual assaults in their life, not because there are no more hardships and trials in their life, but because the Lord is there in his favor for the sake of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you may wonder, are these words that we are speaking on this evening, are they not too high for you and for me? It's one thing for the Lord to speak about the promise of joy and peace, but is there joy and peace, true joy and peace in our life? Is it not so that that joy, for instance, is often taken away by many snares and toils and trials in life? Is it not joy? Is it not so that true joy is a rarity, a rare thing in the life of God's people here? Is there true peace in a world filled with war? Peace among people who are so distrusting and so disappointing and at dissonance with one another. Peace while there is so much warfare among the people in these days. And so many people around us are so blinded spiritually and not aware of the spiritual warfare that there is and that there is to take place. But congregation, if these words were not in the Bible, let me say, I once spoke on these words in a radio message in the Netherlands, and a very dear friend of mine said afterwards, "Don't think it was one of your best messages. It doesn't relate to me. I need you to speak more about my soul and my personal needs." But you know, if these words, verse 12 and 13, were not in the Bible, we could not endure unto the end in this world. Here the Lord is saying that His work is not only limited to what we heard this morning, but goes beyond that. And He does not forsake the work that His hands have begun. And that's why He assures us, and He says, "Ye shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace." And it means that all the leadings are of Him in your life. Also the hardships and the afflictions. And they are meant for peace and for joy. Think of that. Are we not often people who say, "I know the Lord is with me because look at all the prosperity He gives me. I've been so healthy. Things are so well in my family." And we tend to think when afflictions come our way, sickness and other losses, the hand of the Lord is against us. What purpose could the Lord have with this loss in my life, this affliction in my life? You know what purpose? The purpose of peace and the purpose of joy. That's what our text speaks of this evening. Also, the hardships are for joy and peace. How can that be? Because, you know, through hardships and losses and afflictions in this life, the Lord weans us from finding happiness in this world and the things of this world in order to find them. Times in our life in which the Lord is our pilot, our great guide. And the more He weans us of the things that we are so attached to in this world, the better it is for our souls. You see, this joy and peace is not just something external, but it is internal. And then it will be eternal. Should I say that again? It's not only something external, but internal. And in that way, will be eternal. Has that been your experience? Have you ever said to the Lord and to others, "Affliction has been for my profit that I to thy statutes might hold"? And is there then in the affliction even joy and peace? Take your struggles, your afflictions to the Lord. And say to the Lord, "Lord, is this also for my peace and joy? Make it so. By thy word and spirit, I will go on thy promise, O Lord, even when I don't see it fulfilled in my life. Help me to do it through thy Holy Spirit." So that first of all, congregation, abundant peace. And first of all, permanently piloted by the Lord. But let's move to our second thought, where the Lord speaks of His creation being gloriously purified. And I read from our text these words: the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. A way of speaking of which we say, does it make sense? But that's how God speaks. And God says that His creation speaks and shouts and shall shout for joy. Because God's creation is not only a witness of the great acts of God, but God's creation also responds to the acts of God. When God came with the curse for this earth as a result of man's sin, remember that then creation responded in groaning and sighing. And sometimes God's people also get a taste of it. We groan with creation. But when God performs a work of redemption as He has in the Lord Jesus Christ, His creation responds in a way that is not only a groaning and a sighing, but one of breaking forth into joy and singing. And sometimes God's people are given a taste of that here as well. I remember someone, and you may have heard him or her say it as well. Someone has said, when the Lord converted me, everything else around me looked different. The birds of the air, the flowers, the hills, the mountains, everything spoke a different language. Everything seemed to speak, for Christ's sake, of peace and radiate the glory of God. It's like a fresh morning, he said. A springtime in which everything speaks of winter being past, and the turtles singing in the land. Now that's a taste of what the Lord is promising here in our text, beloved congregation. But notice also the spiritual significance. Because the prophet goes on to say, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Now those words thorns and briar or thistle are also in Genesis chapter 3. Thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth to thee on account of man's sin. And as the Lord now by the mouth of the prophet Isaiah says, instead of the thorn, that prickly desert plant, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, also a thorny plant, shall come up the myrtle tree. The Lord is implying that His whole creation will be purified. God's creation is included and will be included in the work of God's promises of redemption, bringing those to fulfillment. That redemption is so radical and so total that the consequences that today show up in God's creation, they shall all be removed. You will know that Peter speaks about that when the Lord comes with shouts of acclamation, and He will come with the saints that have gone before, and He will raise the dead, that then this earth will be purified. God will even have the elements of His creation burned with fire, and He will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that newness in the Greek is a word that it is a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. And that's how you see here that what the Lord promises is a harmony between nature and recreation, or creation and recreation, or what has happened to this earth and the redemption which is in Christ having implications also for God's creation here and now. Mind you, we are not there yet. There is in this present world so much disharmony. Even as we preach on harmony, promised also for the earth. But in the present creation, what a groaning, what a breakup, what a quaking of the earth. We just maybe see it on the news or read of it in the newspaper and we sigh some relief that it's not here in Grand Rapids. And we think, imagine that it would be here. But it is there. And cyclones and floods. But spiritually, there has come a new beginning. And that beginning is not only for a personal salvation, but it goes beyond that. We have a tendency to isolate the work of redemption which is in Christ Jesus to us individually and personally. And indeed, that personal aspect is of utmost importance. But it's only part of the total picture. The Word of God places salvation in a very broad framework. And the Word of God makes clear to us that the redemption which the Lord has promised and which the Lord has accomplished and which today He also signified and sealed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to this congregation is not something that is meant only for God's people personally, individually, and congregationally, but it's something that has implications for all of God's creation. So our text speaks of the great future as it relates to all of God's creation. And then we move finally to our third consideration, that God's name will be eternally praised. And that's the richest of all this evening and this day, congregation. It shall be to the Lord, Isaiah says. It, what does it mean? It shall be to the Lord. What? All that Isaiah has spoken of here in Isaiah 55, all that redemption, all that work of God that He in various ways and with various facets has been proclaiming in this chapter, it shall be to the Lord for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Do you catch the meaning of those words, congregation? You may know that that Eastern rulers particularly have had a custom, for instance in Egypt, to build for themselves pyramids or pillars or other memorials of tremendous measurements. And those memorials, they record their accomplishment during their reign as rulers for the next generations. But if today you visit Egypt or other lands, then you'll notice that there are leftovers here and there. And the pyramids are very impressive, but many, many of them have disappeared. Many pillars that had been erected have simply fallen to the ground, ruined by all kinds of weather conditions. And if there are still remnants, you would almost think that they lie there in the realm of silence. But with the Lord God of heaven and earth, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator and the Redeemer, He does not merely establish a stone of memorial, but He says in this chapter that His redeemed people are His memorial forever. God's redeemed people here are a testimony of God's mercy, of God's abundant pardon and peace and might of God. It shall be to the Lord. It shall run out. To say it in other words, it shall run out into praise to the name of the Lord. The work of deliverance, of redemption, of which the return from Babylon was only a very small part. But the redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross, that will stand in this world, in the lives of sinners who are called to come to Him, to return from their wicked ways, and to find that He abundantly pardons for Jesus' sake. And He will lead them forth in peace and joy, and it shall be for a name. It shall run out into the praise of the name of the Lord. You see that God's praise is the focal moment, the focal point. Down deep, everything runs out into the glory of God's name. It shall be for an everlasting sign. Perhaps not visible to us, but no less real. It shall be to the Lord for an everlasting sign. The Lord knoweth them that are His, even today in our midst. For an everlasting sign it shall be, that shall not be cut off. You know, congregation, when God converts and renews a sinner, bringing him to life in Jesus Christ, when that happens, then all our signs are kingly signs, our triumphant signs, are cut off and must be buried. I remember in one of the congregations where I served that a member had asked that there would be a street in the city where we lived that would have his name. And I understand that today it has his name. But you know, he died in a very young age. And that can happen to us too. The Lord takes it away from us, sometimes in a day. Sometimes he does it over a period of months. Sometimes he does it over many years. And when he works in us, we even begin to pray him for it. Lord, cut off my signs, that in my pride I had erected somewhere. Cut them off. Let me die to those, and make me a trophy of thy abundant pardon and of thy grace. A sign for thee that shall not be cut off. And then the most important thing is not that I, as a sinner, be saved from sin. Hear me out well. But that does not become the focus. But then I come to see that God saves his people. And he shows them abundant pardon. And he leads them forth in peace and with joy for the glory of his name. His everlasting name, as the text says, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Have you come to see that? Has that become your prayer? That's what it runs out into. In the work of God's redeeming grace. And brothers and sisters, if you were this morning at the table of the Lord on good grounds, then you will agree this evening, and you may have sensed it this morning, your coming to the table of the Lord was ultimately all about the Lord. Then everything speaks of Him. and his praise, then it's not so much about me. Not at all. I must die to me, to myself. And I must come to know his redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, for his praise. That is growth. When you die to self and become smaller and smaller, and the Lord becomes greater and greater, and you grow in that childlike faith and confidence that it shall be for the Lord, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And you who have sat at the table of the Lord this morning, I ask you now, have you come to see that perspective of salvation? Is that how you will walk out of church tonight and move into the working days of this week, that you look forward to that future, and that you realize that all that the Lord speaks about in this chapter is linked together? It is who speaks? God speaks. The fruit of his pardon. And then you will ardently long that the shadows will flee away, and when our pilots will bring us to our eternal destination in glory, and there it will be the glory of God forever, without sin, without stain. I surely hope that you who have sat at the table of the Lord this morning on good ground, that you will thus experience it in faith and hope and love and joy and peace, for the name of the Lord to be praised. And to say it shall be to the Lord for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I should also mention tonight that there are in our midst those who did not celebrate the supper of the Lord this morning. Some who were perhaps not even here. But others who, there are those who have never yet come to the table of the Lord. You know, for God's people, often speaking, the Lord's Supper can be a highlight, a feast, as I hinted at this morning. But while it is a highlight for some, there are others in the congregation who do not speak about it as a highlight. They actually dread it. And they sit in church, but for them, it was not really a blessed day today. At least not in the sense that they dare to speak of a blessing for themselves. I ask you, my brother and sister, can the Lord, being the pilot of his people, not make you jealous this evening? I speak now especially to you who do fear the Lord, who know your need of the Lord and of the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. But you have not been able yet come to that point that you would rise from your seat and walk, looking to the Lord to take your place at the table of the Lord, and to show forth the death of the Lord as the only ground of your and the only foundation of your salvation. My prayer for you is that God, the great pilot of his people, will so lead you today, tomorrow, and in the time ahead, that you too shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. And then I ask you, if that happens, will you then not come the next time to the table of the Lord? What do you think? I asked someone this past week, how far are you away from coming? How far, I'm asking you tonight, are you away from coming? Will the Lord not lead you to his table? Or do you think that the Lord has a different way with you? Some he brings to his table, and others he keeps from his table. May it be that the food this morning, and you thought, I can't go, that food will go with you this day. What was it? For he will abundantly pardon. You had no liberty to come this morning and to eat. May that word go with you tonight and make you long. Imagine that this week one of the children will not eat at home. I'm not hungry, Mom. Or Dad, you have to eat. I'm not hungry. And if they will not eat, how long will you let him continue? Will you not worry then about him or her being malnourished? Now apply that to you before God. And the gospel call goes forth. Come ye. Do you have no money? Come buy without money. Jesus paid the price. We journey on, congregation. The summer period is next. I don't know what the Lord has precisely in store for you this summer and for us as a congregation. But may he prove to be our pilot. And grant us abundant pardon, abundant peace. Lead us, Heavenly Father. Lead us over life's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us. For we have no help but thee. Savior, breathe forgiveness o'er us. All our weakness thou dost know. Thou didst tread the earth before us. Thou didst feel our keenest woe. Lone and dreary, faint and weary, through the desert thou didst go. Spirit of our God descending, fill our hearts with heavenly joy. Love with every passion blending, pleasure that can never cloy, thus provided, pardoned, guided, nothing can our peace destroy. Amen. Let us pray. This morning we said, O Lord, what a miracle to come to thy table and to sit there and to taste with broken bread and poured out wine that abundant pardon. And what a motivation there was this morning. For he will abundantly pardon. What a miracle this evening to speak of abundant peace. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, This portion of thy word says that thy word shall not return void unto us. It shall prosper in the thing whereto thou wilt send it. Send it in everyone's life to this, to be led forth with peace and to go out in joy. And it shall be for an everlasting sign to thee that shall not be cut off. What a day that will be. When our song forever shall record the tender mercies of thine, our God. Thy faithfulness we shall proclaim. Thy abundant pardon, thy abundant peace, thy eternal praise. We pray for special guidance. And who of us does not need that special guidance of thee by thy word and spirit, young and old? Also the newly appointed brother deacon, Joel, together with the other brothers, and prepare us as a whole congregation to so live that it is not we that live, but thou in us, for an everlasting praise. In Jesus' name, amen.